Hi, I'm Kelly Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Are you facing something that seems impossible? Have the experts said there's no way? Here's the good news. With God, nothing is impossible. He said that, not me. When you trust His promise, the power in His Word is more than enough to change any situation. Join my dad, Kenneth Copeland, today and discover what it means to be with God.
Now, let's read first from Matthew 19. Hey! Praise God. Matthew, the 19th chapter and the 26th verse. We'll read down into that. We'll read verse 23. And then said Jesus unto His disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, say, well, Brother Copeland, that really messes me up after what we've all heard. No, don't misunderstand. You have to go back and see what He's talking about. He's talking about a man who trusted in uncertain riches. Well, that would be part of that Babylonian system, wouldn't it? Man trying to meet his own needs with his own money. And that's who he was referring to here. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's extremely hard for that man that trusts in money to turn around and trust in God. Very difficult thing. When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Now, that doesn't sound like a bunch of poor people, does it? Isn't that amazing? How the whole world thinks Jesus and all of His disciples, a bunch of poor boys who couldn't get by from day to day, walking around barefooted, hunting for a handout. Nothing could have been any further from the truth. He picked wealthy, strong, powerful men that became His staff. And the one that had the worst trouble with finances and with greed was Judas, and he was the treasurer. Now, poor people don't have treasurers. He was the comptroller of that ministry, and he was really hung up on it. And he had his opportunity. He had his opportunity to repent. Jesus gave it to him. Now, and the rest of them said, Who can be saved? If it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we've all had it. Now, listen to what he said. Red words win, right? Jesus looked at them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All right. Now, let's look then at Mark chapter 9. Mark 9:22. And let's back up there to the 19th verse. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Now, you see, he's talking to faithless people. Didn't believe anything except what they could see or feel or hear. Now, faithless. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He asked his father, How long is it ago since this came on him? And he said, Of a child. Oftimes it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, what I'm about to show you is extremely important, and it's most of the time overlooked. And the reason it's overlooked is because of the problem that I'm about to show you. Jesus asked him, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" That's all he asked him. He answered it instead of a child. He should have shut up right there. That answered the question. That's what Jesus asked him. But then he just went on and on and on. He wasn't listening to what Jesus answered, asked him. He wants to hear himself. He wants to rehearse this problem. And he rehearsed himself right out of what little faith he had. Then he said, "It's cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy it." What's he trying to do? He's trying to talk Jesus into doing something, and Jesus was already ready to do something. What he was actually doing was trying to talk Jesus into something. Well, he's out of line with that. He's not listening to what Jesus asked him, or he'd have just answered it and hushed. But he's going on and on and on, thinking he'll be heard by much say. The problem is, this was what was in him. This is what he was full of, and he couldn't talk without it coming out. Now, that's what's happening to politicians today, and there's a number of them that God has, that what God has spoken in Babel, confusion. And they are spilling everything that they're trying to do. They're spilling their inside deals. They're talking stuff. They're telling everybody in the United States what they're trying to do. And ain't nobody likes it. Had they any sense, they'd shut up. But they can't, because they ain't got any sense. They're under the rule and control of the spirit of that system. And there's a lot of them just stand up there and just go on and on and on and on, and ain't nobody likes a word they're saying. Why? Because God's got them in a position where that they can't get out of it without crying out to Him. Now, it stirred him up to the point where he said, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Look what Jesus said. "If you can believe," he dumped it right back on him. "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And the father of the child cried out with tears and said, "I believe. Oh, God, help my unbelief." He came under conviction about what Jesus said. Thank God he did. Amen. But now notice, if you can believe, all things are possible to him. Now, over there in that other scripture, Jesus said, all things are possible with God. With men, this is impossible, but all things are possible with God. Here, all things are possible to him that believes, with God, and to him that believes. Now then, Luke chapter 1, if you didn't bring a Bible tonight, look on with somebody else. You need to be putting your eyes on this. Luke chapter 1 and the 37th verse. Verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." With God nothing shall be impossible. With God all things are possible. With God nothing shall be impossible. Now, Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, look, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Nothing too hard for God. Then why do things look so hard to us? You know, we get to a place in our thinking where, man alive, I mean, that's just about as far as I can go. I don't see how God could do any better than that. I mean, this is just too big. This is too ugly. This is too horrible. You can just go on and on and on. It's not too hard for God. It's too hard for you. Now, you think about this. If somebody were to put a bill on, say, Mr. Gates' desk, somebody laid it in, I said, I'm telling you right now, if you don't come up with $1.25 million by Friday, it's all over, Mr. Gates. What would he do? Make a phone call. That ain't too hard. Now, what would happen if somebody come to you and said, if you don't come up with $1.5 million by Friday, it's all over, sister. Oh, God. What do I do now? That's just, there ain't no way God get $1 million plus to me by Friday. Well, now see, it looks like it's just terribly, just awfully too hard. I mean, no way God get, are you kidding me? God could give you a planet by Friday. It's not too hard for God, it's too hard for you. Now, right on the other hand, you come put a note on Mr. Gates' desk and say, I'm going to tell you right now, you come up with $35 billion in cash by Friday, it's all over. Now you got him sweating. Why? It started looking hard to him now. You see, it's not God's eyes, it's our eyes. Nothing too hard for God. Hey, yeah, but I just wonder if he'd do it for me. That's what that guy was wondering about his son. Will he do it for me? He knew he could do it. That's the reason he came up there. He liked to talk himself into leaving, but that's the reason he was there. But his problem was, will you? You remember the leper that came to Jesus said, I know you can, but will you? That's a big question in the heart of a lot of Christian people, and that's the reason I continue to tell you that faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, when that man came up to Jesus and said, I know you can heal me. He was a leper now. I know you can if you will. Now, if go get the different translations and look at the rendering of the Greek text there. He actually said, I most certainly will. One translation said, well, of course I will. And what happened? He was delivered immediately. Well, it wasn't just Jesus running the leprosy off. This man's faith just leapt to the surface. He already believed that he could, and suddenly now he believes that he will. And all of a sudden it don't look hard to him anymore. Jesus got bigger in his eyes than that disease. Now we're going somewhere with that. You stay with me, all right? So, notice now, all things are possible with God. Then, to those who believe, all things are possible. Nothing impossible. Those that believe. So what's going on here? Well, let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask you that. The Lord told me to do this for you. Look at the 28th chapter of Matthew, and we'll let Jesus answer it. Let me remind you again. Luke 1:37. With God, all things are possible. Luke 18:27. With men, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard for God. to him that believes, all things are possible. Now, look at Jesus, 19th, 20th verse, 28th chapter of Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, and look, lo, look, look, listen, look, I am with you always. With men, it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I will be with you always.
Amen.
Who you with?
God.
Are you with men or are you with God?
God.
Then there's not anything impossible.
Amen.
When you believe.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is where the two come together. I think I mentioned this to you the other night. When I was a kid, young boy, I just really enjoyed traveling with my dad. And he traveled. He was a salesman all the years I knew him. Here's what he would do. Everywhere he went, everybody that he walked up to, and my dad had a way about him when you'd meet him. When he said anything to you, he'd have a chuckle in his voice. You call him on the telephone, he'd laugh before he said hello. That's just the way he did. He'd pick up the telephone and say, hello. You couldn't be mad at him. You couldn't last, man. He'd disarm you before you ever said anything. But, you know, he'd walk up there and he'd say, my name's A.W. Copeland and I'm with Drawn's Business College. I heard that over and over and over. Then in 1951, National Old Line Insurance Company, Little Rock, Arkansas, wanted him, and he began to teach and train salesmen. He trained over 1,000 men with that company. And when he went with it, it was $100 million worth of business on the books. And by the time he left, almost 19 years later, it was right at $1 billion. And my dad's picture, I'm thrilled to say, is on the wall of fame, National Old Line Insurance Company, Little Rock, Arkansas. Praise God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And he'd walk, here you go again. My name's A.W. Copeland. I'm with National Old Line Insurance Company. Now, why did he put that like that? Well, if he just walked up there and said, I'm A.W. Copeland, well, so what? But then he told you who he's with. And that established something.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not just A.W. Copeland. I am with National Old Line Insurance Company. I caught on to this. With God, all things are possible.
Hallelujah.
With men, it's impossible. With socialism, it's impossible. With God, you prosper. I mean, come on. That's the two systems again. And so, I still do it today. I remember the first time that anybody did this, they said, I introduced, I'm Kenneth Copeland, they said, who are you with? This is back there years ago. I said, I'm with God. And he looked at me like, what? He said, you with God? Yeah, I'm with God. You a preacher? I said, yeah, I'm in the ministry. And then he started getting spiritual on me. Yes, I'm on. I had whoever it was, his cousin or somebody. And he said, I understand what a sacrifice it is to be in the ministry. I said, are you kidding? He said, yeah. Well, I understand how times can be really rough. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm having the time of my life. Glory to God. And, of course, he's thinking, if I'm in the ministry, I got to be poor. Not even poor. Poor. But I don't answer to poor boy. I'm with God.
Amen.
I said, no, this is the greatest thing ever happened to me, man. I'm having the time of my life. Well, he didn't know what else to say, so he just walked away. But when you begin to practice the presence of God, you begin to talk to God all the time and expect to hear an answer. You begin to say things like what Jesse and Jerry and Creflo and all the rest of us go and the rest of the say. You practice it all the time. You get to where then it becomes your life. I'm with God. And all things are possible with God. And Jesus said, I'll be with you to the end of the whole thing. Well, then what have I got to fear? Nothing. But it needs to develop in you. You don't act one way in these meetings. Go act somewhere else at home. That's not the way you walk in these things. Now then, let's talk about all things are possible to those that believe. And we have to look not only at Jesus, but you remember we read in the Word yesterday, look unto Abraham, the rock from whence you were dug. And what did he promise? He said, I called him and I blessed him and I turned his waste places and his desert places into the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Well, that's what he got planned for you and me. He has a place for us. He has grace for us. Abraham believed God. Now, why doesn't the Scripture talk to us more about looking at Jesus? Well, I'll tell you. You expect Jesus to walk by faith. You expect him to do the impossible, not realizing that it wasn't any easier on him than it was Abraham. In fact, it was harder because he walked it perfect. He didn't make any mistakes. That's tough. And the Scripture says, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Fix your mind on him. You fix your mind on him and your mind won't faint and run away with you. So, but we also look at Abraham, who is the father of our faith. Why? Because this was a man that I'm telling you, he just went through everything you could think of anybody could go through, and he believed God. And set an example for us in not being moved by what he saw and not being moved by what he felt. Only moved by what God had said and was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he said. And that's our example. Of course, Jesus is our example. Amen.
This is the one thing that I look forward to every year is coming here to be immersed in the Word.
You can never trade this for anything else. You know, I just wish this would be the life that we live every single day. You just wake up, come to be in the presence of the Lord.
You can get the principles of the Word on TV and it's exciting, but when you're gathered together with thousands of people and experience it in the presence of God, it's totally different with being in person.
How could I ever have God's faith? Why did this not happen? Why did that happen? How do you use faith to move a mountain?
Join Kenneth Copeland as he sets the foundation for what faith is, how to move a mountain. 15 messages available as a digital download. Get the truth about faith. Learn what it is and what it's not. Nearly 60 years of faith teaching collected in one place, simplified and accessible. Identify your faith, develop it, find out how it works, and put it to work in your life the way God set it up to operate. Whether you feel like you're well-versed in faith and how it works, or you've just been introduced to the concept, this Back to the Basics teaching will refocus your understanding and set you on the right track to moving the mountains in your life. Download your free copy of Faith Is How to Move a Mountain today. In this series, Kenneth Copeland gives you a foundational teaching on faith and shows you how it works according to God's Word. You received a measure of God's faith when you were born again. Learn how to use this spiritual force God has given you and remove every mountain in your life. To download your free copy, go to our website, kcm.org/TV special. This free offer is good for 30 days.
Jesus said, "All things are possible to him who believes." Being with God means agreeing with His Word, connecting to His power to change the impossible. If you're facing a financial challenge, believe God's Word. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. That's God's law of sowing and reaping. And when you follow His Word, that law has the power to bring a harvest into your life. Every farmer knows you need to sow into good ground to reap the harvest. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is good ground. The seed you sow is part of taking this message of faith around the world. Because of your partnership, we are teaching believers who they are in Christ and how to receive God's promises. God is faithful. So we believe that you will receive a harvest on the seed you sow. Let me pray today over your offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person listening that has a yearning to sow into the kingdom, into this ministry, and into this broadcast today. Lord, I ask you if they have nothing in their hands to sow that they can see, either cause them to see what they have that they can sow, Lord, or bring seed. You are the one who brings seed to the sower, your word says. So bring them that seed, Lord, that they can sow it in faith and reap a harvest. In the name of Jesus, I pray over their harvest. I call in every part of our partner's harvest. I call in the harvest of the word that was sown in their life today. Lord, let it flourish. Let it be so outward that others see it. I pray over the finances that they sowed today in the name of Jesus. I pray over the love that they've sown for this ministry and for those around them, Lord. Return these things to them 100-fold now, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is Kelly Copeland reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. To give by text, text the letters KCM to 36609.